Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health. We're an evidence-based radio show providing up-to-date information on various health topics so we can help you, help yourself, live healthy, live wise, live strong to your fullest potential one step at a time. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, with a 23-year tradition of quality nutritional supplements and healthcare products at everyday low prices. Our topic today is digestive health, and joining us is Caroline Farquhar. Caroline is a registered holistic nutritionist, has taught at the Canadian School of Nutrition, and is currently the Director of Education for the company Renew Life Canada. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning.
And actually, it's thank you for returning to Insights for Health. This is part two of you were here in June, and we're talking about digestive health, and this week, Caroline, you wanted to talk about IBS, or irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is that, Caroline, exactly?
Well, irritable bowel syndrome, it's what's called a functional disorder, and that means that there's no physical evidence of disease, such as like ulcers or inflammation, and it's also a diagnosis of exclusion, and that means that a practitioner cannot determine a cause for the symptoms, so they can't say that it's Crohn's or colitis. So usually a diagnosis of IBS is likely to be made. Now, other conditions should be ruled out, though. Things like parasites, candida, infectious diarrhea, and lactose intolerance. A lot of times, those four things might be overlooked. And if it is any of those conditions, then once you balance them, then the symptoms of IBS would likely go away.
So it's a process of eliminating what might be the cause when you say
exclusion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so IBS then isn't Crohn's or colitis. So how exactly then do we differ them from the irritable bowel syndrome?
Well, inflammatory bowel disease describes two separate but similar conditions. So that would be Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And these diseases affect the gastrointestinal tract, and they cause the intestinal tissue to become inflamed, they form sores, and they'll bleed. So Crohn's disease can affect any part of the gastrointestinal tract right from the mouth down to the anus. And inflammation occurs in patches throughout the tract, and the inflammation can actually affect every layer of the affected bowel tissue. Now, ulcerative colitis affects only the inner layer of the colon and the large intestine, and it always starts in the rectum, and it may extend as a continuous inflammation through the rest of the colon, but it's not going to go beyond the colon.
Okay, so how do these conditions develop? Because it's not likely that they're just going to happen overnight. I mean, is it something that is gradually coming upon you, or like what's happening there?
Yeah, you're right. It is correct. So it doesn't happen overnight. It's likely caused by a combination of factors. So for Crohn's and colitis, there may be a genetic predisposition. So, some triggers in the environment set up the inflammation. And in a person who's predisposed to this, the inflammation doesn't go away. So instead of helping, because inflammation is not a bad thing, it helps your body to heal. But in the case of these people, instead of helping, the intestinal system may actually allow the inflammation to persist or get worse. So recent research suggests that an overgrowth of bad bacteria in the intestinal tract may be a contributing cause. So a lot of sufferers have found that certain medications like antibiotics have triggered attacks, or maybe they've eaten something which sets things off. But one of the big ones for sure is things like stress. I know people with both Crohn's and colitis, and stress is their number one trigger.
Okay, so back to the IBS then, like what would cause it then, or what conditions would lead to IBS?
Well, depending on what condition we're talking about, it will determine what the cause is. So if it's Crohn's and colitis, it could be something that's set up from the environment.
Okay.
But if it's IBS, allergies, food sensitivities, those are a big cause because they're found in about a third of people that have IBS. The most common allergens are dairy and grains. Those are big ones, especially wheat and corn. But there's other trigger foods like the coffee, citrus, chocolate. High sulfur foods are an issue for a lot of people, like the garlic, the onions, those sorts of things, because it produces gas, which triggers those symptoms. And then, of course, lack of fiber. We don't have enough fiber moving things through the body. So fiber's like a janitor. It's just going to keep sweeping things through the intestinal tract. And if you don't have enough fiber, then it tends to sit in the intestinal tract, putrefy, cause gas and bloating, which can, of course, trigger your symptoms to go off. So the key is to figure out what is causing it and try to deal with it that way. So if it's food sensitivity, cut out the food. If you don't have enough fiber in your diet, increase the fiber in your diet. If you've got issues with constipation or diarrhea, you want to be dealing with those things as well.
So similar to our last show when we talked about heartburn, where we do a self-analysis, okay, when is this happening and what are the conditions around when it's occurring? Sort of the same thing here then.
Yeah, and I think that's really, really key, is people taking accountability for their own health instead of, you know, going to the doctor every time something's going wrong. Start to sit and listen to your body. And one of the things that I would, you know, tell people that they might want to do is to do a food diary.
Okay.
And so for a week, write down how they feel every time they have a meal. So write down what's in the meal. How do you feel up to about an hour afterward? And even, you know, if you've got symptoms later on in the day, and start paying attention and say, oh, every time I eat garlic, I'm having issues. Well, that's your trigger. So cut out the garlic. So once you start, you know, being aware of it, it's easier to always make the right decision.
Sure. So does IBS a condition that comes and goes?
Yeah, actually, it does, unfortunately.
Okay.
But it can be managed through diet, lifestyle changes. But, you know, it's important to manage things like stress, sleeping properly. These are things that we might not think of. So meditation is really good at lowering your stress levels and managing your thoughts, actually, because a lot of times we get fixated on things and we start to maybe cause stress within our bodies. So understanding, again, your triggers can help you manage it, and you might not have them come back as often.
So avoiding the things like, again, like the triggers you mentioned, dairy, grains, coffees, stress, to avoid those sort of things. Can we maybe just step back one step maybe further? And you talked about the bowel being inflamed. Can you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, the tissues in the bowel will actually become inflamed and they'll bleed.
Now, we do know that inflammation to a certain point is good for the body to react. On the other hand, too much is not good.
Exactly. You want to settle it down a bit. You don't want it always to be on fire, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
And a lot of us are dealing with something called silent inflammation,
right,
where we've got these things happening in our bodies and we're not aware of them. But they can lead to long-term problems. And silent inflammation leads to things like heart disease. And so essential fatty acids, our EFAs, our omega-3s, are like internal ice packs. They help to deal with inflammation throughout the body. So inflammation is good in some regards, like when you smack your thumb.
Sure.
That's good because it's swelling up, it's protecting you.
Yeah.
But that long-term low fire that keeps burning and burning and burning, that is not good. That's when you want to slow it down, settle it down, and that's where this, you know, IBD comes in, where you've got these inflammatory bowel diseases which have constant inflammation going on, and you've got the bleeding and the irritation. So that's a lot more serious to deal with.
Sure, yeah. And so there's really no cure for IBS, but there are treatments to relieve the symptoms.
Yeah.
So what can we do to help ease that suffering? Because it's not comfortable, is it?
No. Definitely. And in someone with IBS, I always know when I'm talking to someone with IBS, because they're very hesitant to make any changes in their lifestyle, because they might have it under control, and if they change anything, it could set them off. So
sure.
Things you want to do is to rebuild and repair the intestinal lining.
Okay.
There's key ingredients for that. So N-acetyl-D-glucosamine and L-glutamine. So the L-glutamine will help increase the intestinal villus height. It stimulates mucosal cell growth in the intestinal tract. That's key.
Is that an amino acid?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And then there's N-acetyl-D-glucosamine that helps with tissue repair. But along with that, then you want to use antispasmodic and anti-inflammatory herbs. So ginger, golden seal, turmeric. Those are all antispasmodic, antimicrobial herbs, anti-inflammatory herbs. There's Chinese herbs that have been proven to be very effective with IBS.
Okay.
And at Renew Life, we've got a product called Intestinu. And Intestinu helps to rebuild and repair the intestinal tract. And we have something called Intestinal Bowel Soother, which helps with the symptoms. But we went a step further. We actually combined both of those products into one called Intestinal Bowel Support. And Intestinal Bowel Support is something that you would take. It's a two-week supply, so some people may need to take it longer, but some people only need one. And you would just take that every day, and it helps to rebuild and repair the intestinal tract and helps to alleviate the symptoms related to the cramping and the spasming and all those things that are causing discomfort.
So just a few herbs and a few supplements that's already there for you to help, yeah, help with all of those symptoms.
Yeah, another key factor is maintaining good bacteria.
Yes.
So probiotics are absolutely crucial in keeping the population of the good bacteria high and keeping the bad guys at bay, because more studies are showing, researchers have discovered that probiotic bacteria can actually influence the activity of immune cells and the cells that line the intestine. So friendly bacteria block disease-causing bacteria from sticking to the lining of the intestines. So that's really, really important. And the good bugs actually block chemical factors involved with inflammation. So that's why, I'm not sure if you've heard, but probiotics are good for inflammation. And this is where it's crucial for people who are dealing with IBD or IBS.
Okay, Caroline, I'm going to ask you just to hold that thought. And let's pick that up after the break, because we're going to take a few minutes here just to pay the bills. And we'll be right back.
All right.